Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. Do you know that old hymn, Standing on the Promises of God? And how appropriate at this time of year when we prepare to celebrate that God has made good on His promises to send a Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, to save us. And we find those words of promise in what we call the Old Testament, in the prophets, the Psalms, and in the law. And Jesus said we would find words concerning Him in those books and explain to the disciples where to find them. We have an affirmation of our faith, which we share each week, and this one from John's Gospel in the first chapter, the first five verses, and then we add verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the first chapter, rather lengthy, verse 5 through 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I can't be sure about you, but as long as I have read and studied the Bible as a 21st century person, I'm never sure that I have much in common with the people I read about in the Bible. I mean, I have the internet, streaming color television, and indoor plumbing. Those are big differences. It's like the third grader to whom I was explaining that the pioneers of our town didn't have cell phones, and he asked, rather astonished, "Then how did they talk to one another?" I told him they talked face to face in the places they met together, like the store and the church. Before our town got home delivery of mail with snail mail, I would see many church members at the post office picking up their snail mail, as many as 10 people in one day. I often threatened to take my desk into the post office and have office hours in the post office where I would speak with people face to face. And that is how the people of the Bible are like me and I am like them. We talk to one another and we talk with God. We talk with the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Zechariah, the God of Mary, the God of Joseph, and the Heavenly Father of Jesus, the Son of God. And today's Word of God is a window into the conversation between Zechariah and God talking to each other, God speaking through his messenger, the angel Gabriel. And I want us to hear and understand this conversation between Zechariah and God. We will learn something. We will even learn something about our God, just as Zechariah did that day over 2,000 years ago. But it would help us to be reminded what Zechariah was saying to God, because Zechariah was more than one of God's people, the Jews. Zechariah was an official representative of God's people, the Jews. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah." Zechariah was a priest of God's people serving in the temple in Jerusalem, the only temple to the Lord God in all Israel. Luke gives more details. Verse 8, "Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside." You see, there were enough priests to serve on a rotation basis in the temple in Jerusalem, and it was Zechariah's group's turn to report for priest duty. Then the priests cast lots. Those lots are prayed over, of course, in order for the will of God to be revealed as to whom is chosen to go into the holy room of the sanctuary. There were actually lots cast for the other priestly duties as well, the burnt offering, the cereal offering, and candle maintenance. So the chances that Zechariah's name comes up for the incense may be 1 in 100, in the hundreds, maybe more. But that day, Zechariah got to go into the temple to offer the incense. The Lord God had willed it. Luke gives us some personal details on Zechariah and Elizabeth. They don't have any children. Some of us have trouble understanding the couple's depth of concern for being childless. So let's remember God's promise to Abraham: children, lots and lots of children. So would, if you were a childless couple, could that mean that God had ordained that Zechariah and Elizabeth were to be left out of God's promise? And why would God exclude one of God's priests from one of God's oldest promises? Oh, surely Zechariah and Elizabeth must have done something wrong, some sin. That's the problem. Those two must have displeased the Lord God, right? Well, how bad must you be for the Lord to skip blessing you with children How evil a priest must you be, or your wife, to make you a priest childless? As you might guess, those of you from small towns know people would have been making those kinds of comments about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And the townspeople would have been repeating that kind of talk for decades. And those same people would have condemned anyone childless to God's wrath decades before. Face it, some troll might have said to Elizabeth and Zechariah, one of you or both of you are notorious sinners. God is not pleased with you and refuses to bless you. Pastor David Jeremiah, in his book, Why the Nativity, suggested in his book that the couple had given up hope of having children. Why? Because they were old. Luke tells us they were old people. I like how the King James Version of the Bible puts it. And they both were now well stricken in years. Okay, how many of you, along with me, have been stricken with years? It's painful, isn't it? To be stricken with years? Yes? And Luke tells another detail. Zechariah and Elizabeth are not notorious sinners. Those two were pinnacles of right living. Those two people were in God's promise, and they were in God's promise in a very special plan. The plan of God, Luke reveals from the mouth of the angel Gabriel. First of all, the messenger of God states, "Your prayer has been heard." Your prayer has been heard, Zechariah. And I'm just have you notice what Revelation chapter 8, 4 says. And the smoke of the incense, Zechariah was there to burn the incense. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God. Pastor David Jeremiah suggested that Elizabeth and Zechariah may have lost hope of having children. Maybe. The Bible does not say that, but we can be assured that Zechariah never stopped praying about it. Never stopped praying about having a child. Gabriel states, "Your prayer has been heard," with the understanding that that's why I'm here. Gabriel was there to announce the answer to the prayers, and not just the prayer for children, but the prayers for Judah, for the nation. The incense smoke goes above the temple and is another sign for the people outside the temple to pray. The people with Zechariah praying for deliverance. Gabriel stated that Elizabeth would have a child and it would be a son. Males being especially valued, carrying the name and property of the family. I don't make the ancient laws, that was just the way it was in the first century. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. God has the name of the child for you because this is a part of God's plan. Verse 14, he will be a joy and a delight to you. Now, being a grandfather, I have a deeper meaning of this verse 14. Having children is not the hard part. Having children is not hard. But when you are stricken with old age, anyone? It's keeping up with young children. Am I right? The hard part's keeping up with a toddler or a three-year-old or a six-year-old. At my house, we say there is tired and there is tandem tired. It's a whole other level of tiredness when Deb and I spend time with Tandon. So Gabriel stated, the child will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Gabriel stated, the blessings don't stop with you, Zechariah. The blessings are bigger. Verse 15, for your son will be great in the sight of the Lord, and there's even more. Your son will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And, verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents of their children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Not just Zechariah's prayer for children. Pastor David Jeremiah suggested that Zechariah may have knelt in tears to hear this wonderful pronouncement. The Bible doesn't say that. Zechariah's words in response are more words of astonishment. Now, maybe you don't understand that, but maybe you do. I've had a number of occasions when some of you saints have said to me, "Pastor, I prayed about this, and you know something? Prayer works." And I always say the same thing, "Please do not say that like you are surprised. Please don't say that prayer works like it's a surprise to you." God hears your prayers. God heard Zechariah's prayer, and that is why Gabriel showed up to give God's answer to Zechariah's prayer. Guess what? Zechariah was surprised. For Zechariah was surprised beyond belief, beyond his ability to believe it. And Zechariah said basically, "How is this even possible?" Friends, that isn't how you want to answer God's response to your prayers. Do you see that? You might just say, "You know, Lord, I am astounded beyond belief," and let it go at that. You can confess your limitations and say, "I can't believe it," but don't suggest that God is limited by asking how God plans to get things done. Do you understand that? It's okay for you to be limited in your understanding. God knows that. But don't suggest that God is limited in what God can get done. But it was too late. The words came right out of Zechariah's mouth. "How can I be sure?" Other translations state, "Whereby shall I know this? How can I be certain?" And the Gabriel's answer, and I prefer my interpretation of Gabriel's words in response to Zechariah's question. "Look, buddy, God just told me to come here and announce to you God's own words. You don't get to ask me questions. And since you were presuming to ask me questions, I will make it so you can't repeat one word of God's own word that I just spoke to you. You will have the truth of God told to you, but have no power to repeat it to anyone. How do you like them apples?" You know, when I interpret angel words, it gets pretty earthy. So what to do? What do we learn from Zechariah and Gabriel's conversation? You might remember that Jesus himself would teach, "Pray and never give up." Luke chapter 18. And Zechariah appears to have lived this prayer principle right into his later years. Even the fulfillment of the prayer left Zechariah with more questions than the amazing truth that the Lord was indeed granting Zechariah his prayers. But do remember a lesson from Zechariah, the priest of Judah in Jerusalem. It's okay for you to be limited in your understanding. God knows that. But don't suggest that God is limited in what God can get done. How many times have I heard someone say or read of people who said, "I prayed and nothing happened," or "I prayed for something and I didn't get it"? Zechariah could have said the very same thing for years. Years and years. And then one day, a messenger, the angel Gabriel, came straight from God's throne room to say, "Your prayer has been heard and this thing is going to happen." Not only that, it will be a boy. You, Zechariah, shall have a son, and the boy is going to be a blessing to many. It's all part of God's plan. It's even bigger than your prayer, Zechariah. The answer to your prayer is even bigger than your prayer, Zechariah. Zechariah could have said for years, "I prayed and nothing happened," or "I prayed for something and I didn't get it." Zechariah could have said it. But what we do know is that Zechariah kept right on praying. This is what we know, that Zechariah kept right on praying. There's a curious little verse in the book of Job that I often turn to, Job 42:3. The Lord God said to Job concerning Job, "Who are you, Job, who darkens and obscures my plans through your words without knowledge?" Good question, Lord. When we say concerning our prayers that I got no answer, we're claiming to know something about God's plans. When we don't know a thing about God's plans for the future, we don't know about God's plans for our prayers. Zechariah was so astonished by God's plans and the fulfillment of Zechariah's prayers that Zechariah states, "I don't see how this can happen." That's right, Zechariah. You don't see. But that doesn't mean that God can't do it, just as Gabriel declared it. Zechariah had enough faith to keep praying, but he didn't have enough faith to just say thank you. When Gabriel said, "This thing is going to happen now." Let me offer another better thing to say when you don't get an answer to your prayers. How about saying, "It feels like I didn't get an answer to my prayer or my prayers." You're allowed your feelings, and that's different than trying to state it as a fact that God didn't answer your prayer. God answered Zechariah's prayers and the people's prayers years later. And if you had said as a fact that God didn't answer your prayers, you'd be talking like a fool. If God is just, you might just have to eat those words, and they won't be tasty. What about you and me? Will we be surprised that God answers prayers? Will we be astonished if we get what we ask for, even if it comes years later? I've told you about the man who prayed for a raise, and the next thing he knew, the man got fired. Did God forsake that man of prayer? No. The man was hired by another company at the salary he had, plus the raise the man had prayed for. And yes, it really happened. And that answered prayer is small potatoes compared to God's plans for Zechariah's son, John the baptizer. And it too really happened. Now don't misunderstand me, don't misunderstand the Bible, and don't misunderstand God. Not everyone should pray for a raise. Zechariah didn't pray for a raise in salary. Zechariah didn't pray for an angel to drop by. But the angel Gabriel did drop by with the answer to Zechariah's prayer. Can we today in the 21st century hear the divine words of the angel spoken 2,000 years ago? But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, your prayer has been heard." It says something about our God, about God's promises, and about God's answer to prayers. Amen.